numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network. Appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada here at El De. For the Spanish-speaking folks. When you look at the sign, sometimes there's no space in between the two words, and you're like, oh, it's a Spanish word.
Yeah, you told that to me and Rob coming in. Yeah. And
now you'll never unsee it.
Yeah, like he said, I'm going to read it that way now every time I look at it. Thank you.
Bar Canada, otherwise known as Unscripted with the Crack Man. A little later on the show, Bill Krakenberger will join us. I don't know if he's going to have his friend Randy McKay with him, our buddy, or not, but, you know, Randy's nonchalant about such things. We'll see. Multiple car winner in Vegas.
I wonder if he's won another car or two from the Silverton.
He wins some every day, this guy.
He's amazing.
He's always nonchalant about it. We will also, of course, talk Teaser Tuesday, Paul Carr, with some Premier League picks. We'll talk Thursday Night Football here in a minute, but we got to start once again with the World Series, which is over. The Rangers are your World Series champion for the first time in 52 years in Texas. That after being the Washington Senators for 11 years, but 52 years in Texas, they win the World Series 4-1 over the Diamondbacks by virtue of a 5-0 win last night. Took a 1-0 lead into the ninth and then exploded in the ninth. Yes, there was a misplay in center field, but nonetheless, the Rangers get it done. And I just have to say, by the way, first, before we say anything, congratulations to one of our loyal listeners, Steve in Vegas. Steve in Vegas hit his exacta. The Rangers to beat the Diamondbacks in the World Series. Some of us did not hit our exactas. He did at 175-1. So, mazel to you, man.
There you go, Stevie!
Stevie! Well done. It's awesome. Now, there's going to be somebody out there listening. What are you talking about? You could have gotten that at 425-1 before. He got it at 175-1. So good on him.
Yeah, and all the people that cash Rangers tickets. JVT, I think, had one to win the World Series.
Very nice.
In the 20-1 range, something like that.
Good on you.
Yeah, so good on everybody out there able to cash some nice futures.
Yeah, and look, I'll say it again. We said this before the World Series. I'll pay tribute one more time because I do think it's these moments where you put stuff in historical perspective. And it's our buddy Joe Pita who had tweeted at me, or texted me, I should say, before the World Series, and he knew my affection for Joe Jackson Gibbs in the NFL, and I always think he's the best football coach there's ever been. He said, does Bruce Douglas Bochy rise to that level now? And just for those who are out there who, you know, might be screaming, oh, what are you talking about, Bill Belichick in football and Phil Jackson in the NBA? Listen, Phil Jackson had Jordan and Pippen, and he had Kobe and Shaq. And Bill Belichick had Tom Brady. And, you know, even if you go to Bill Walsh had a system with Joe Montana and the best team that free agency could buy. And, you know, those coaches, sure, they didn't do anything wrong, but you'll never know if they're truly the greatest coaches when they have the best players or they implement one system with the same players or the same player, whatever. What these guys have separated themselves are, is given what they had, they've proven themselves, whether it's in football, across different X's and O's, just tailoring X's and O's to the personnel you have. In the case of Gibbs, a running team in 82 to a pass-first team in 91. But, you know, who's your biggest star that spanned all those years? I don't know, Art Monk was your biggest star, who's great, but come on, what are we talking about if that's your biggest star? In the case of Bochy, let's just go through it again. 1998, he takes the San Diego Padres to the World Series. They do get swept by the Yankees. They get swept, but again, who are their best players? Kevin Brown and Andy Ashby as their starting pitching staff. Greg Vaughn hit 50. Obviously, you had Tony Gwynn, but no one's going to mistake the 98 Padres for a great team. They didn't win the World Series, but he got them there. And then the 2010 Giants, who did win the World Series. It's just, they had great starting pitching, but it was with bats. Aubrey Huff and Pat Burrell and Juan Uribe. Bruce Bochy took them to a championship. 2012-2014, the Brandon Belts and the Brandon Crawfords of the world were added to the Buster Posey's and the Pablo Sandoval's. Those are better teams, but the commonality of those three Giants teams was the bullpen primarily. Those were the big holdovers, and Boch was a master at deploying his bullpen arms. And that is what made this Rangers team ultimately do so great in the postseason. A team that didn't lose on the road in the postseason. What an epic, historic run for Boch and these Rangers, who, I got to say, Marcus Semien and Corey Seager, better offensive players than any offensive player any of those Giants teams had, period. And so they had that side of it taken care of, but the knock on them and the reason that those, you know, others didn't have Rangers futures tickets is because you didn't think that the starting pitching would get them to the promised land. You didn't think that the bullpen arms were good enough to get the Rangers to a World Series title. And yet, the magic of Bruce Bochy with his fourth World Series title. Evan Abrams, our old buddy, who works, where's he, is he the Action now?
Yeah, over at Action, yep.
Yeah, Evan, he used to be at ESPN. Highest preseason odds to win the World Series last 20 years? It is these Texas Rangers under Bruce Bochy, 50-1 that got it done. The 2015 Royals, 33-1 being the next longest shot of the last 20 years. Just unbelievable.
Just wild how many times Bochy's name's on that list.
All three of those Giants teams are on that list. 2014, 2010, and 2012. Well, the 2014 team, which did not win a division, much like these Rangers, did not win a division. They're actually the longest odds of those three Giants teams. Are actually tied for long, because 2010 was also 25-1. But Bruce Bochy, absolutely. He's the greatest manager, I think, of our lifetime. Apologies to Joe Torre, who, I will say this, Yankees titles were not won based on free agents. They were, you know, that period where George Steinbrenner was sort of banished and Gene Michael was able to, like, actually start a good farm system and call up guys like Jeter and Pettit and Bernie, and, of course, the great Mariano Rivera. So, I mean, they're obviously a great dynasty, too. But Boch gets the nod from me. What an outstanding performance by the Rangers. Boch gets it done in the first year as manager of the Texas Rangers. So congratulations to everybody who had a futures play on them, and congratulations once again to Steven Vegas. 175-1. Rangers over the Diamondbacks, which he made that bet in June. So imagine how many times he thought that ticket was trash bin material.
Yeah, for real.
It's just incredible. Wow. Incredible. Okay. So we look forward to getting our baseball thoughts when baseball season approaches, when World Series numbers are out. Braves are the short shot at 7-1. Dodgers plus 750. Astros at 9-1. These Rangers, by the way, 9-1 to repeat, because they'll be intact. And then the Phillies at 11-1. Season win totals, of course, when we get to those, we'll look forward to talking about those as well. Thursday night football tonight, sir. This just in.
Mm-hmm.
Titans at the Steelers. Total 37. Tied for the lowest on the board here in Week 9 with the old Giants-Raiders game. 37.
These totals this year, man.
Oh,
this
man.
Is,
well, it's like,
I almost feel like we don't talk about it enough. It's so incredible. 37. You got multiple under 40. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 under 40 this week total-wise. Tonight, nothing for me, Gil. I don't know how you feel, but this is Kenny Pickett going to Play hurt, I guess. Tough it out for the Pittsburgh Steelers once again.
Steelers favored by 2.5, we should say.
Yeah, laying 2.5 in this one. I would be.
Pickett, we talked about this off air yesterday. Pickett's like the rush to come back for Kenny Pickett is something, and then the willingness of the Steelers to allow him to come back is a fascinating thing.
Yeah, I don't really get it. It's one of those, like, I don't want to read too much into it without knowing. You know what I mean? Maybe he's just a little less banged up than we thought in some of those injuries, right? But it is. You know, if he's hurt at all, I'm with you. Why rush him back? You're not going anywhere.
You know, a few things to
know
about this.
Your future.
Just to put this game into context. First of all, 4-3 Steelers, 3-4 Titans, right? That's the first thing. Will Levis, now coming off that 4-touchdown performance this past week against the Falcons, where he had a full week to prepare. This is a short week now. That was a bye week, by the way, before the Falcons also, so he had extra time. This is hitting the road on a short week against a Steelers defense that is really good. And if you go past those 4 touchdowns, first of all, the 4 touchdowns themselves, right? A couple of the passes weren't exactly accurate. One of the third Hopkins touchdown, he was well behind the defense. The only great one was the last one, the fourth one we were talking about this on Monday, to Nick Westbrook-Ikpe. Did I say that right? I don't know if I have that name right. But that was the great pass that he had. We talked about it Monday on Guessing Lines. But if you go past those four touchdowns, those four plays, he was 15 of 25 for 81 yards, 3.2 yards per attempt. That's minus 0.60 expected points added per play. Minus 0.60 expected points added per play on late downs, a 2 of 11 success rate. So in other words, digging past the flash of the four touchdowns, not very good. Not very good at all. Both offenses in this game, bottom 10 in DVOA, Aaron Schatz's stat. Titans have the worst offensive line, or actually third worst offensive line in the league for Pro Football Focus. No Minka Fitzpatrick, though, it should be stated for the Steelers tonight. And the Pittsburgh D, I was mentioning, they're good. They're ranked 7th in DVOA, 8th against the pass. Tennessee now 11th in DVOA after that performance against the Falcons. And Pittsburgh's offensive line not very good either. So that's the story. If you're into, you know, we don't like trends here, but do you want a primetime trend of under 37 obviously makes people interested. Like what happens when a total is 37?
Well, Mike Thomas never had a losing season. We know that.
So yeah, we do know that. But unders go 21-6-1 the last four calendar years at a 37 total or lower.
It is wild.
Primetime games.
Obviously, Titans are going to want to run the ball. Steelers, I mean, the rush defense is decent. I'm just looking at some of these player props. 201.5 passing yards for Will Levis. I hear you with everything you just said, but it'd be over or nothing.
If this game's in the middle of a Sunday early slate, do you play it at all?
No.
No, and so I won't either here. Nothing pre-flop. We'll come back. Teaser time on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Stevie in Vegas. It's Steve in Vegas. He has chimed in at 702 Steve Sports. He says, we have a winner. Thanks for showing a listener love. I think I may have a few shekels to buy Kelly some eggnog to wrap up these challenges.
I don't remember the last one I agreed to on that. What did I have to do? Drink more in less amount of time? I don't remember
because we did do the eggnog thing on Primetime Action, and you have never had eggnog since.
Yeah, I have not. I have not had a sip of it since.
And you lost or you won?
I won.
You won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we tried to up the ante, but I'll be honest, I don't even remember what that.
Eggnog season is upon us, sir.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think right. Yeah, it's probably in the grocery store now. It probably is, or it probably is soon.
Did you want to update your dad? People got a kick out of your dad's story yesterday. The great Thad Bidlin.
Of course, when I walked up to meet him yesterday, went to U2 last night at the Sphere.
Oh, how was that?
Amazing. Amazing.
Were your seats up high or down low?
Down low.
Was it a good vantage point? Because people say up high and far is the greatest.
It was incredible. I don't think there's a bad seat in the house.
That could be.
I'm not even particularly a big U2 fan. Most amazing concert I've ever seen. That is, I cannot wait to see who's going to be playing at that venue in the future after them. Because that is, it was an incredible, incredible show. I put a bunch of videos on Twitter. I was putting stuff up all throughout the show. So if you want to see any of it, you can check it out there. But that is just the whole thing, man. It's wild.
It's incredible.
It's insane. I still don't get the technology. I just don't get it.
Was every tile is an LED screen? Single one of those?
So that's what I thought, and maybe that's just the outside. I was spending 20 minutes trying to figure that out before the show, because it looks like it just looks like cement panels.
Yeah.
And then it looks like they maybe have little projectors, but then when the whole thing goes up, you're like, all right, well, this looks like a crystal clear whatever TV I'm looking at.
It's amazing.
Wild.
So you had a good
great
time.
Show.
So
great
what,
show.
So what was your story? So again, for those who missed it yesterday, Kelly has never hit a royal flush in video poker in his life.
Yep, 5.5 years out here in Vegas. Play it fairly often. I don't want to say I play it all the time, but yeah, never hit one.
Your dad sits down.
Dad comes into town, sits down, 8 spins, hits a royal flush. So the best part yesterday, so I go up to meet him before the show. He's got him and some friends in town. So I go to meet him before the show. And, of course, he's at the bar playing, so I took a picture and sent it to you before I even went up and said hi. So best part, we're wrapping up at the bar, we're about to go over to the Sphere, and he's like, hey, how do I, so I got like, you know, $150 here, how do I get the money? I'm like, what do you mean? He hit the cash out button. It's going to give you a ticket. He's like, whoa, what do you mean? And I'm like, oh my God, the only thing he knows is hitting a royal flush and they deliver the money to you because then you got to fill out the, you know, the IRS stuff.
That's all he knows.
So all he knows is the money brought to him. I'm like, oh my God, man, just hit the cash out button. Give me the ticket. I'll go get your cash for you.
By the way, it's not the best part of the story. The best part of the story is how much ill will you now have for him for being this successful in such a short amount of time.
And his buddy Tommy, of course, is sitting next to him. He's like, just rapidly playing now because, you know, he's down a royal flush to him.
Oh, so Tommy had secondhand chase.
Exactly. Yes, he had secondhand chase going. I kept warning him. I'm like, Tommy, just cool it down, man. Cool it down. Cool it down.
It's not how this works, Tommy.
Yeah, boom.
It's not a competition.
Like, what do you got in the NBA line? What do you got? What do you got in the NFL?
No.
What do you got?
Everybody's got a Tommy. Everybody's got a Tommy. Teaser time, week 9, National Football League. No? No intro?
Yep, maybe.
Oh, okay.
It's teaser time.
I faked him out there.
Yeah, we're quick. Quick pivots here.
Quick pivots.
You know what? I'm going to start here. Not one listed, but I don't think I had this one listed. But, I mean, key point, betting point for the game tonight. This is going back and forth, 2.5 to 3 at different books. So, obviously, shop around if you're into taking the Steelers. 2.5, better than laying 3. And if you're into the Titans, obviously 1 take 3, not lay 2.5. So some of the ones I wrote down, Dolphins, 1.5 against the Chiefs, that game in Germany this Sunday morning.
Is that the greatest international game there's ever been on paper?
I was wondering that as far as I can remember, yes.
You know, remember that Rams-Chiefs game where we came in the next morning? You weren't with me, but we came in the next morning. We're like, this game is going to change football forever.
Yeah.
Like, what, 50-something?
58-54, whatever it
was. That was supposed to be an international game. That was supposed to be a Mexico City game. But then what happened? The field wasn't ready to go. And so it was domestic in the end. But I think this on paper, Dolphins-Chiefs. Anyway, I interrupted you. Dolphins-Chiefs, the best matchup on paper.
No, I think you're right.
Germany.
Saints 8.5 home against the Bears. I know that's a popular leg this week. I did play that one. Browns laying 8 home against the Cardinals. Bucks catching 2.5 at the Texans. Giants catching 1.5 at the Raiders. And Bills +2 at the Bengals. Shopping around, there's some other 2.5s and some 7.5s out there you might be able to play as well.
You like the Saints leg better than the Browns leg?
Yes.
Against Clayton Tune?
Yes.
Why? As Ron Flatter would say.
Saints team, not one that I've loved. I haven't put a single bet in on this team this year. I think Derek Carr is improving, though, what we saw out of him last week. This team has all the pieces. They really don't have many excuses why they shouldn't be the most dominant team in the NFC South. I like them. You're going up against this Bears team that, okay, you got Bajent Badgett experiment going on. I don't really have any trust. He got blown out by the Chargers last week. Teased this down to 2.5. I think that's an easy cover leg. Browns are just tough. I think they're tough to trust offensively right now. You're rolling out P.J. Walker. That defense hasn't been as dominant recently. So, yeah, I like that Saints one a lot better than the Browns. And Browns, I'm not even considering.
Know how last week I was like, oh, my God, I love every single one of these. By the way, a couple of them didn't get there, right? Chiefs didn't get there was one of those proposed teaser legs last week, I believe. Was it Chiefs down? Yeah. Chiefs teased down against the Broncos.
Yeah. That sucked.
But I liked almost all of them last week. I hate every one of these.
So I put in
this week.
I put in one teaser this week, and I think it will be the only one I put in, and it's Saints-Giants.
Well,
so Saints down, Giants up.
All right, let's just go through these one by one. Dolphins +1.5, Chiefs. Tease the Dolphins through the 3 and the 7. If the Chiefs beat them by double digits, you wouldn't be shocked, right? Miami's been a bully.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
I don't know how you feel just about that game and the Cowboys-Eagles game, but like, I don't think I'm getting involved in either one. I feel like there's a lot of love on the dogs, both the Cowboys and the Dolphins.
Okay, we touched.
And we've been saying this. All these teams have done, both of them, is beat up on bad opponents. Like you say, bully them around. They've beat up on bad opponents. Neither of these teams has an impressive win on their schedule.
We spoke about this yesterday. This has nothing to do with teaser time. But the Cowboys, the love that we've gotten from all of our guests on the Cowboys this week, no shorter than three different guests, right? No fewer than three, have all proclaimed their love adamantly for the Dallas Cowboys.
Drew, Will,
Eric? And Eric Eager. Now, that doesn't mean they're wrong, but I don't want to play that game.
They
could be very right.
They could be very right.
But I don't want any part of that.
I've seen to that side just because I think...
I don't know if I do.
Because I think Jalen Hurts is definitely playing through some injuries going, you know, right now.
Do you trust the Cowboys?
No. I'm not playing it, but, like, it is... It's one of those crazy matchups when everybody... I haven't heard a single person. It's one thing to say we've got a few guys that have been on the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I still haven't heard a single person that I respect say they're on the Eagles.
No, and I didn't make, and I didn't. I also didn't tee it up like you have to pick this game. They chose to pick
right.
that game.
Yeah, exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Back to these teaser legs. Dolphins scare me.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs beat them by more than the teaser range.
Yeah, completely agree.
Saints down to beat the Bears. I mean, I guess that sounds good to me, but the Saints aren't exactly the team that inspires the most confidence. But that should get there. Browns hosting the Cardinals. Yeah, I think so. I think so against Clayton Tune and the Cardinals. Because Josh Jobs has been great for them. Like, you take him out of the mix, and now he's with the Vikings. Like, that's a big loss, despite the fact that it didn't result in wins. Bucks at the Texans. Good God, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I think that's the one I would want the least.
Buccaneers teased up to be 8.5 against the Texans, imagine.
Because I might lay 2.5 with the Texans. That would probably be a contest play for me.
And I get it. You know, Antonio Pierce is now the interim coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. But the Giants plus anything isn't inspiring to me. They're horrible.
Yeah, you get
horrible.
Daniel Jones coming back this week. Hopefully some injury stuff swings their way. Aiden O'Connell taking over now for the Raiders. Major changes going there. I hear you. I just don't see Raiders winning that by a touchdown. You're going to tell me more than 7 points? I don't see that one happening.
I'm not saying it's not going to, but I'm not racing a bet. So then the Bills at the Bengals, I love the Bengals more than anything.
It's the only bet you and I had had.
But if you made me take one leg here, which the exercise is you're making me, I think I'd probably take the Bills plus 8.
Wow, okay, all right.
Just because they're the most competent of all these teams that are catching all the points, by far.
Yeah, that Buccaneers-Texans one, I mean, that's one I would have no interest in.
Anyway, so in a year where there's been a lot of great teaser weeks, I would not consider this one of them.
There's been some dud weeks, too, though. This is a little bit of a dud week. Like, we had more duds earlier in the season, it felt like, with teasers. They've been great recently. So, yeah, one for me, Giants and Saints this week.
Wongs have been great all year long. But you know what? Everybody knows about Wongs, and the pricing has reflected that, sadly. We'll come back. Premier League picks from Paul Carr on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, and the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, let's talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Paul Carr joins us now to talk about the Premier League, but I bring him in because off-air, Kelly, we were talking about World Series ratings. Now, we do not have numbers from last night yet for Game 5. But, Paul, games 1, 2, 3, and 4, 9.172 million. You were right over on the 7.5 that I said. Game 2, 8.15 million. Game 3, 8.126 million. And last night, Game 4, rather, 8.48 million. Now, that Game 4 of 8.48 million, fourth lowest rated World Series game of all time, with Games 2 and 3 being lower, and then one game during the pandemic, Game 3 in 2020, being lower than at 8.34 million. It was the least watched Game 4 of all time, as I said. Previous low was 9.56 million during the bubble of 2020. And if you look at just the decline, Diamondbacks Rangers opened with a 20% decline in viewership in game one from the previous game, 24% drop game two, 27% drop game three, 28% drop game four. So it is, by every measure, the least watched World Series of all time. And again, from our corner of the world, Paul, It's not so much that, because who cares if it's bettable? But like games 3 and 4 were literally coin flips on the betting line. So it was just this confluence of events, man. Congratulations to those who did have the Rangers and futures. That's a different story. Mm-hmm. But from a night-to-night basis, oh boy. Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was tough. I mean, and especially, I mean, executives will always tell you, they just want a long series from, you know, it's kind of a revenue slash, you know, ratings will grow when it's more is on the line, game 6 and 7. So 5 games is not ideal either. You know, I bet you might get like 8.5 from last night just because it was close most of the way and the clinching potential. But here's another random thing. I was looking through historical World Series ratings. The highest rated ones are from 1978 and 1980. So Yankees, Dodgers, and then Phillies, Royals.
Yeah.
You know how many? You know what the average viewership was for those two?
I'm very curious. What?
Over 40 million for each of them.
Oh my goodness!
Isn't that nuts?
But so that's when it was called. It was still called our national pastime, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yankees Dodgers is the most marquee matchup of all. 1978, 77. Right. They actually matched up. Also, Yankees won both of those. And 80 was, I guess, the Phillies hadn't been in a World Series in forever.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Phillies Royals drew like 42 million on average in 1980.
42 million.
That is crazy.
Is that nuts?
That's,
and I checked
baseball,
out the World Series
say it again.
The same time.
We
I checked
hate
out the
baseball.
World Series. Oh, sorry.
Kelly Keyes says we hate baseball as a country. We do. Apparently we do.
It's incredible.
Well, that's why I kept saying
it. Checked out.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
The Super Bowl about the same time, and it was in the 50s. So just for comparison, the World Series wasn't too far behind at that point.
That's amazing. So Super Bowl viewership was just 10 million more than the World Series. And now what does a Super Bowl get? 100 and what?
Over 100.
Yeah.
100, 110, somewhere in there usually.
I mean, wow. Pete Rozelle's dreams have all come true. And baseball,
the World Series will still win the night by a lot. Like, it'll be the most watched thing on TV by double, maybe, something like that. So it's not just a baseball issue. It's a TV issue.
It's a it's splintered programming as well.
Yep.
But
all that stuff.
But the NFL doesn't need that excuse, do they?
Right.
They don't need
they
that
supersede
excuse.
Everything.
113 million for your Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, 113 million. Thank you. Okay. Oh my. Okay. So how does the Premier League do by comparison in this country? Do you have any idea what the ratings are?
The top weekend, if they top a million, they're pretty happy in general. And those are usually ones that end up on NBC. So, in that range. But I don't think there have been very many that have hit a million. If they're in the high six figures, that's pretty good.
All right. How's your season going so far, Premier League?
Season going. We got a little bit back on track last couple weeks. 2-1 last weekend. Split 2 Champions League games last midweek. The winner was a +110, so made a little bit there. So we're trying to get back on track here.
All right. 3-pack. What do you got this week?
All right, we're starting Saturday. This is Brentford against West Ham. You can get plus money on a Brentford win if you shop around. I got it +105. A little bit surprised. Brentford's better. But this is where, again, we talk about this, especially early in the season. The table kind of lies to you. West Ham's a spot ahead of Brentford in the table. 1 point ahead of them as well. Excuse me. But look at any underlying numbers. Look as simple as goal difference. You know, Brentford is +4. West Ham is -1. You go into expected goal difference, it's even more drastic, where Brentford is almost +7 and West Ham is -5. So 6 versus 15. Brentford had just kind of some bad luck. A little bit run earlier. Didn't get some points they probably should have. Brian Mbeumo has been very good up top in place of Ivan Toney. That was kind of a big question mark when Toney was suspended for betting on games. But Brentford, again, better team. They're going to have a lot of the ball here because West Ham doesn't really possess much. And Brentford's very patient with the ball. They take good shots, second best shots in the league. So, you know me, you give me plus money on the better team at home, I'm going to take that. So +105 here.
Wrong team favorite kind of thing. Or in Paul Carr's parlance, just the better team. Better team. Yeah. I'm going to play the better team. Brentford to beat West Ham at +105. Always shop around. This is on Saturday. Also on Saturday, you like a larger dog than that.
Yeah, this is the big one of the weekend. Newcastle, Arsenal, a couple of top 4 contenders. I like Newcastle to win this at +160, or if you can get it down to about +150, that's about as low as I would go on it. Now, I don't know if I'm ready to say Newcastle's better than Arsenal, but their numbers are much more even than the positions in the table suggest. Again, Arsenal hasn't lost a Premier League game yet. Newcastle just hasn't gotten the results. They lost 3 games early in a row, but they were to City, they were to Liverpool, and they were at Brighton. So 3 of the better teams in the league, and they, again, probably should have gotten a point or 3 from those, but the bounces weren't going their way. But Newcastle's been a weird team. They take really good shots, even though they don't get a ton of touches in that penalty area, the dangerous area. But they got a couple good forwards in Callum Wilson and Alexander Isak, who look really good together. One of the best pairings of forwards in the league. So again, I'm not saying Newcastle is better, but plus 160 on what I think is basically a coin flip on the home team, I think is pretty good here.
All right. And then Sunday wouldn't be a Paul Carr segment without a total.
Here's your over. This is sort of your brain dead over of the week you like to go with sometimes.
I like it.
Luton Town, bad defense. Liverpool, really good attack equals goals. I still think Liverpool's probably the second best team in the league. You like that math there?
Yeah, yeah. I like it.
It's excellent.
Like
it.
Yeah, bad defense, good offense equals goals. Liverpool's third in the league in goals and first in expected goals, actually. They take really good shots, second best in the league. And when they play teams outside the top eight this year, they've won all five by a combined 14-2. So they don't mind piling up, you know, 2, 3, 4 goals in those games. Luton surrendered the fourth most goals in the league, third most expected goals, third best shots, et cetera. They just look like a newly promoted team. You know, they're the second favorite to go down right now at like minus 500 or so. And they conceded a goal in every game, multiple goals in 6 of 10 games, et cetera. Numbers don't look good for them defensively. So I expect goals, most of them from Liverpool on Sunday.
Todd Wishnev has live texted the show. He says, you can't take West Ham. They're not kosher. That's a joke for a portion of the audience, Kelly. Brentford, here are the three picks from Paul Carr. Brentford to beat West Ham on Saturday, plus 105. Newcastle at plus 160 to beat Arsenal, also on Saturday. And then Sunday, Luton Town and Liverpool over 3.5 goals. The brain dead over, as Paul describes it, in the Premier League. Steve Fezzik is also a live text of the show talking about our baseball conversation. He was talking about, you know, and this is for people of a certain age, 75 World Series, the Reds and the Red Sox, Carlton Fisk willing the ball inside the foul pole in Game 6, 79 Pirates, We Are Family. I was an Orioles fan as a kid, and Eddie Murray was in a slump, and it was awful. But what is it about, and just paying a last tribute to baseball here for the season, because we won't talk about it anymore, but what is about baseball? I talked about this with Immaculate Grid, Paul, where this game that's online that everybody loves.
Yeah,
you know, I grew up first as a football fan. Football is my first love, but there's something about playing baseball in Immaculate Grid that is so much more satisfying than the other sports. And it relates to also the nerd sports fan in all of us. As much as I love football, as much as I love basketball, I can't name every champion every year of my lifetime. But in baseball, I can. If you throw any year out to me, I can tell you who won the World Series. It's a why. What is it about baseball that even though we only have 8 million viewers for these games in the World Series, it still holds a very interesting portion of our brain for those of us of a certain age anyway?
I think there's something just about, you know, it's basically every day for like 6 months. And it's almost just like, you know, you go to work, you do your thing, there's baseball on. It's just it's a part of life for kind of so much longer in a way. And every single day, I think there's something to that. And again, just growing up, you know, you can listen to the radio. I went to sleep listening to Royals games for, you know, years of my life. Mm-hmm. And you just have this bond with it that's different than once every week, like the NFL is for, you know, 4 months out of the year. So I think there's something to just the volume, the consistency. It's kind of like life and the ups and downs and things like that.
Kelly asked me a year, any year.
1984.
Oh, Detroit Tigers, of course.
Tigers.
Started out 35-5. Kirk Gibson.
Will Alexander.
That's an easy one.
1927.
No, it's not my lifetime. But I'm going to go Yankees. Yankees. The 27 Yankees being the most obvious of all the years before our lifetime. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good one.
Paul Carr, everybody. We'll come back unscripted with the Crack Man with special guest Randy McKay next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app. Use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Skill Alexander's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. Good thing this table is as big as it is, because it's a special, large, mega-sized edition of Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger.
Special guest edition. Yeah. Supersized.
Movie Vegas Vacation is based off this man. Put a quarter in, I win a car. Put a quarter in, I win a car.
Not only is Bill Krakenberger here with us. Oh, this is a remix.
Oh, wow.
This is a long version.
I just don't think we've let the music play out.
Oh, wow. We should have that going down the whole way under. Bill, you've brought our dear friend. Would you like to introduce?
Yeah. Randy McKay, who I've known for, I don't know, 20 years. And very good, sharp, a gambler. Matter of fact, if Randy's doing something in the casino, I hope I'm not ratting you out here. If Randy's doing something, you can guarantee it's a positive EV, expected value, whether it be literally could be slot machines, even a crap table, yes, because you can get a good deal, a buy-in deal or an offer, or even I'm hearing now Sigma Derby.
Come on, Randy.
Randy, could we tell that story?
Yeah, it was many, many years
ago. Listen
to
this.
I was walking through the big green casino on the strip. Everybody knows. I won't say their name, but I was walking through, and I saw these guys, you know, how the Sigma Derby spits out the coins when you win. And I saw these guys filling buckets, and I'm like, what's going on here? And I realized the game was running the same combination every time. So you just bet the same combination. And I was able to pick off probably close to about $1,000 before they ran out of quarters.
Oh, that's
and
all.
So it's the same. You understand.
Yeah.
It was the same exacta every time.
Yes.
The Sigma Derby, people are not familiar with it. The Sigma Derby is you get paid on a two-horse combination. It's actually a quinella. It's like perfect. Well, that wouldn't be quinella. It would be an exacta of the two horses that come out. So every race, 1-2 was coming out. 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. And Randy went over there and exploited that. And I love it. You listen, I'm looking to steal from every one of you. It's just to let you know, every casino, I'm looking to take advantage of.
This is the electronic Sigma Derby, not the old school.
No, old school.
No, it was the old school Sigma Derby.
Oh, yes. Wow.
The best part of the story at the end, it was because they ran out of quarters, right? That's why you had to stop. They ran out of quarters.
They had to do too many fills, and that's what, back in the day when the coins used to spit out of the machines, what would catch your attention on something like that is that the coins would they'd have to do too many fills, and they go, hey, that would alert them to, hey, something's going on with these machines.
How many cars have you won in your lifetime from casinos?
I've been partnership with about 14 total, and the last 2 years, I actually win a lease every year if you put enough
points. This is unbelievable.
If you put on enough points at a casino, you get a free lease for a vehicle for a year.
It's a Mercedes, isn't it?
Yeah, I got a Mercedes, SUV. Yeah.
Every year he's got a Mercedes for free.
Randy, let's go back in time. Let's go back. What's the moment? First of all, how old were you, and what's the moment in your life where you come to the realization, oh, I can do this all the time forever and never have to do anything else?
So I started out as a craps dealer in Laughlin, Nevada in the early 90s and got caught on to some of the promotions and stuff that they had in the casinos in Laughlin back in the day. Like, I worked at the Gold Nugget. Next door, they had this double time jackpots at the Pioneer. They still maybe have that promotion, but they would have a 3-minute song, and I was alert to this. This is my first ever play, Advantage Play, and you play these 60 coin to 300 pot machines, and if you hit POT was 60 coins, and then if you hit the sevens was 300, and during that song, if you hit either one of those, you got paid double, and it spit out the coins just like it was an old school machine. So I did that for a while, and you know, that was probably a good 10% overlay, and I hit a few times, but eventually you get on that one, you get tapped on the shoulder too, and you get say no more. They would say no more double time. So that was my first one, and then my first video poker. They came out with this game called Flush Attack, which Bill.
Oh,
maybe,
I love that game.
Which Bill maybe remembers. Instead of getting 25 for a 5-coin flush, you got 125 coins, and during when that light is on, that game pays back 140%.
It's unbelievable. 140%.
How many years ago was this when you first started doing that?
That was in the early 90s, 1993, and I was working as a craps dealer, and then I actually moved back to North Dakota because I had a job opportunity. I probably shouldn't have done it, but I opened up a casino as a craps instructor, and then in 1997, they were going to cut pay, so I decided to finally go venture back on my own with about 20,000-30,000, and I haven't looked back. It's been 26 years.
And your most recent jackpot was when?
12 hours ago.
12 hours ago?
Yeah. I caught a royal flush here 2 days ago, so, and then I hit one at another property for 10. So
you had 20,000 and 10,000, but he didn't tell you the reason why he won it. It's because Bill Krakenberger brought him back that hat from the Masters. He is on a tear with that hat. and just to let you know, it's funny, we laugh about that, but we were just before the show, me, Gil, and Randy were just saying about luck.
Yeah, I asked
luck. It was a great question you asked.
What percentage is luck? What percentage is skill? And your answer was?
Well, the luck part comes in. As far as playing, you're going to have fluctuation, but the skill part is finding, you know, what to play, what the casino is doing, and what your EV is during that situation. So, you know.
And then the luck follows.
Yeah. Luck is when reality meets preparation, right? It's like they say.
When opportunity meets preparation.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right. Now, I want to say something, too. Randy, did I meet you first, maybe more than 20 years ago? It's 2023. I might have met you 25 years ago. Did I meet you in Atlantic City at the Taj with the Double Jokers? Were you playing them?
I was playing them. I don't remember. That was actually my first $5 Royal.
I think that's when I met you, though. Was there with Tall Frank. Remember Tall Frank? You know Tall Frank?
Yeah. Oh, Tall Frank, Kelly.
No. Tall Frank. There used to be a lot of characters at the
Tall Frank
Taj Mahal back then.
He changed my life. If it wasn't for Tall Frank, you don't know Bill Krakenberger. So Tall Frank was, I could say it now. He's retired.
Thank you, Tall Frank.
Yeah, so Tall Frank, Frank K, Atlantic City, still going around there, but now he's worth $40 million. He knows he was a millionaire already, but he's worth, just in case you don't know, do you know Frank's very wealthy?
Oh.
So Frank, let me use his bankroll. Oh, God, what a story this is. Jesus. How do I start this? Okay, I get a call from someone in jail. You guys probably know. I was putting commissary money in his. Oh, I was putting commissary money in his account every week, and I was giving him $20 a week in jail. He's in Atlantic County Jail, terrible jail, by the way, from what I hear. He's in jail. He's telling me, hey, something's going on down at the Golden Nugget. There's something going on at the Hilton. That was the old blackjack machines. Yeah. Yeah. So I go down there, look, and it just so happens that out of the 12 seats, at midnight, and 1 in the morning, one opens up on the end. Who's next to me? Tall Frank. And he said, oh, you know, he's 6'6". He's, oh, can you do me a favor and please not put the bills? I need you to get buy coins off me. I was like, I don't even know this guy. I said, all right, here is $20, a dollar roll of coins. He's saying, yeah, we want to keep the hoppers full, which what she's saying, but keeping the coins full so they don't come over and find out what we're doing here. And I still don't know what I'm doing. I'm just sitting there because, you know, the guy in jail didn't tell me what's going on. And sure enough, I see what he's doing. He showed me. And that night, I doubled my bankroll. I think I had about $5,000, literally in the bank, working two jobs. Frank literally changed my life. He said, oh, do you bet sports? He said, you know, I know a lot of guys and we can make a lot of money together. Frank and I were partners the next 10 years. He said, you can use my bankroll, which I did. I used his six-figure heavy bankroll, and we bet for years. But that's how I built up. We were middling and scalping. This is the 90s. Frank was the... He was in charge of the card count team at resorts. Did you know that, Randy? He worked for resorts. He was in charge of defensive mechanisms. He worked for resorts. He was the head of the card count unit. They actually were throwing out gamble. But at nighttime, when he got off of work, he was out there doing it himself.
Yeah.
And I found, that's how I found Frank. But that's how I met Randy. And I actually won two cars. It was a foot and a half of snow on the ground. I'll give you my car story real quick. Foot and a half of snow on the ground. By gaming law, they have to give away the two cars. The Taj has to give away two cars. Actually, it wasn't the Taj. That was the Trump Plaza. And literally 100 people showed up, 18 inches of snow. I was one of them that showed up, 100 people instead of, you know, 10,000 people. And sure enough, they called my name for his and her Mercedes. His and her Mercedes. And I sold it back to them. They gave me $75,000. This is 1998, though. They gave me $75,000 instead of the – but that was my first real advantage thing, $75,000. And then I won't say what, but Randy and I went on to make we made $250,000 score together, you and me.
Can I repeat your text, by the way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Kelly says when we come back, we're going to power rank jails
Bill said that one wasn't so great. I want to know what's in the top five.
Power ranking jails. We will come back because Randy has now stepped up the sports betting side of things. So we're going to get his take now that he has moved jurisdictions. We'll get into that. And his old Super Contest Gold story. I want to hear about that on the final day. Le Batard next on DK Network. We're coming back at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.